Now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to talk about a very important subject, one that concerns life and death, misery and suffering, the very future of mankind. Could it all be wrapped up in incidents that occurred back in the 1940s? Could the future of America, the destruction of the entire world, have a riddle that would give us clues to what's going to happen in the future, this terrible, this horrible prophesied future, prophesied, yes, in the Bible, the days of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel, where a great fire will burn much of the earth and millions will be slain. Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen, one of them brings great death, fire. Isaiah talked about this in his prophecies. He prophesied that someday there will be great bloodshed caused by heat with the shadow of a great cloud and a great heat wave. Well, of course, that is a picture of the mushroom cloud of the atomic bomb. I talked about these kinds of things in my book, Mega Forces, and unfortunately it's no longer available. It was previously titled Rush to Armageddon. So I had really two editions of that book. I want to talk today about atomic bombs. I want to talk about Jewish and Soviet spies. I'd like to discuss traitors from the United States of America. And I'd also like to look at the future when these nuclear weapons will be released in the Middle East and will cause millions to die from the immediate blast as well as radiation sickness that will spread over a great part of the world. Now, you may think that I'm just being a doom and gloomer, but, well, make up your own judgment. And you know what I'm going to talk about today has to do with some very big names: Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Bernard Baruch. Well, you'll find out who he is if you don't know. The spies like Rosenberg, who died in the electric chair. They seem to be forgotten now. Actually, they're made heroes by the Jewish Hollywood crowd. But they were American spies convicted of spying for Soviet Communist Russia against America, and even giving the nuclear bomb secrets to the communists that put tens of millions of American lives in jeopardy. Why would they do such a thing? The Rosenbergs. Oppenheimer, another Jew who was in charge of the whole atomic bomb project, its invention and development. He too was found out to be a spy for the Soviet Union, a Soviet Union that was run by Jews. Stalin represented them. His deputy was Gaganovich. Beria, the head of the Gulag concentration camps and the secret police in Russia, was a Jew. Most of the commandants of the concentration camps in Russia were Jews. And that's a testimony of the research done by one of the world's greatest historians, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I want to title our examination today of the atomic bomb, its past and its future, because believe me, this has something to do with Barack Obama, our president, and his White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, and the Rothschilds, and more. But I'd like to title our discussion, our research look today. Pyramid Mysteries of the Atomic Bomb. Pyramid Mysteries of the Atomic Bomb. In this month's newsletter, Power of Prophecy, the feature article is in fact entitled Pyramid Mysteries of the Atomic Bomb. And its subtitle is Magic, Alchemy, the Zionist Golem, and the Planned Annihilation of Planet Earth. Now, I want you to understand something, dear friends. The communist founders, all Jews, Karl Marx, Moses Hess, and others, did not simply want to build a New Age Jewish kingdom on this earth, a communist kingdom, they claimed. But that wasn't their real goal. It was a satanic paradise that they sought. But their ultimate goal was to destroy the earth. In the book, Marx and Satan, the author, Pastor Vernbrand, who has researched these things, gives you the writings of Karl Marx. Now we know he wrote such books as The Communist Manifesto and The Capitalist, Das Kapital. And supposedly his writings and teachings, done, by the way, while he was living in London, England, adopted by Vladimir Lenin, a Russian Jew, Leon Trotsky, actually his real name was Lev Bronstein of the Bronx, New York. And they brought communism and its horrors to Russia, and within the next couple of decades, actually, let's see, from 1917 to around 1960, that's more than, that would be over four decades, more than 100 million people perished because of the teachings of this madman. But that was just for pikers. That was only a beginning. Because in his writings, Karl Marx said his real goal is to annihilate the whole earth. But more than that, he said, I want to be like God, and I want, where God created things, I want to be the destroyer. I want to destroy not only this world, but all the worlds. Look up into the sky, into the starry sky. See the planets, see the sun, see the stars. I would like to annihilate and destroy them all. That would really be living, he said. Huh? That would really be living? To be a God that can destroy world after world? In the little site called Los Alamos, New Mexico, something sprang up in the early 1940s and developed until 1945. A project of the Defense Department and the White House, put together by Jewish Satanists. And it was called the Manhattan Project. And their scientists invented the first atomic bombs. And after they had tested this inhumane and monstrous super weapon right there in the desert of New Mexico, upon seeing the great flames that leapt up from the earth and the huge mushroom cloud and feeling the heat wave, the Jewish scientist in charge of this monstrous project, J. Robert Oppenheimer, declared, I am become the destroyer of worlds. And his biographers say that at that time, along with the other scientists, mostly Jews by then, and other administrators and the staff that worked there, and there were thousands who worked on the Manhattan Project, but he was there with the chiefs. And he clasped both of his hands together like he was a prize fighter that just won a world championship boxing match. And he danced around did this Robert J. Robert Oppenheimer, and he quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu scriptures, in saying, "I am become the destroyer of worlds." It was a quote from the Hindu scriptures of the great supreme being of Hinduism, who is claimed to be both creator and destroyer. Marx said, "It is my desire to destroy not only earth, not only this world, but all worlds. To be greater than the God that exists." He knew there was a God that exists, but he lied and claimed that his communist socialist system, Marxism, was atheist. But that was all a subterfuge. He did worship a God. His name, Satan, or Lucifer. Now, you'll have to read the book, Marx and Satan, to get all the evidence. We have that book, by the way, by Wurm Brand. That's W-U-R-M-B-R-A-N-D. You can order it a little bit later in the program. We'll tell you how to get the book, Marx and Satan, by Pastor Wurm Brand. By the way, why would Pastor Wurm Brand be interested in writing such a book? Well, it just so happens that Wurm Brand spent a number of years being tortured for his Christian faith in a communist prison camp. You know, I think that makes you very interested to find out what really happened. Who are these beasts who have done such things to me and to the others in these gulag prison camps? Why was I brought into torture interrogation rooms and told if I didn't denounce my Lord Jesus Christ, they would torture me to death? Who gave them such authority? What kind of things did they believe in? Well, Wurm Brand explains that in his book, Marx and Satan. They were Satanists, of course. Incidentally, Wurm Brand was Jewish from Romania. The Jews got a lot of plums in Romania, which was controlled by the communist. They got the best jobs, the best houses. They got the best salaries. All the plums that government could give a man or a woman. Because Jews were favored in Soviet communist societies. But Wurm Brand was, Richard Wurm Brand was different. Yeah, he was a Christian Jew. Oh, that puts you in a different category. You were hated, despised, persecuted because you believed in Christ. And it was even worse if you were a Jew, because it was the Jews that were persecuting you. How dare you believe in that horrible Jesus? How dare you, Richard Wurm Brand, and you call yourself a pastor? We'll show you. That was his only crime, when he was thrown into the camp and tortured. Oh, we haven't suffered any of these things in America yet. We've been living in an oasis up to now. We think we're in a recession. We think things are bad. We don't know what we think. Richard Wurm Brand, he went through it all. Read his book, Tortured for Christ. Yes, he wrote a book, Tortured for Christ. But I want you to read especially Marx and Satan. Now, please understand that this project to invent the atomic bomb was called the Manhattan Project on purpose. Why would you think that would be true? Why would the project be carried out to build the atomic bomb, a scientific project kept classified highly top secret until the first two nuclear bombs were exploded in Japan and it became a worldwide sensation when Hiroshima and Nagasaki suffered such casualties and losses? To this day, they're the only two cities that have ever been blasted with atomic bombs, but they won't be the last. I think it's going to occur right here in America as well as many places in the Middle East. Now, you have to understand that this Manhattan Project was called that because it was Manhattan Jews, the billionaire investors on Wall Street, that came up with this idea because the devil gave it to them. You say, prove that. Oh, I can prove it easily. I wish I had more than a one-hour program today. I could give you the definite proof. The main instigator of this was the head financier of Wall Street, a man named Bernard Baruch. He told Roosevelt what to do. He told Truman what to do. And when Truman finally got sick and tired of being told what to do and bucked him and began to rebel against the Jews, they said, you're finished. Don't bother to run for election next time. We're going to give it to someone else. True. He was only elected for one term. Now he did, what, over 3 years of Roosevelt's term, but he was only elected one term on his own because the Jews refused to give him any money to run the next time. But he had already done their bidding and blowing up these Japanese cities. The Manhattan Jews, they had and took great pride in having this project called the Manhattan Project. Why wasn't it called the New Mexico Project? Because it was the Manhattan Jews with their satanic Jewish billionaire Wall Street leader Bernard Baruch that put all this together. And I want to tell you something right now today. I am absolutely convinced that Barack Obama was named Barack because that is a derivative of Baruch. And Abner Mikva, the Jewish lawyer, who is one of the most powerful Jewish insiders in this same Illuminati group today, who hails in the city of Chicago, told Barack Obama, you know your name Barack is actually Baruch in Hebrew, which means blessing. Yeah, you're going to be a blessing to the Jews, Abner Mikva told Barack Obama. And by the way, you can read about this in the article from the Chicago Tribune online, chicagotribunenewspaper.com or chicagotribune.com. Just Google up, go to your search engine or Yahoo or Bing or whatever search engines you have and type in the words, Barack Obama, America's first Jewish president. And there you'll have the article from one of America's most distinguished newspapers, the Chicago Tribune. Now, the Manhattan Jews came up with a project. They enlisted Albert Einstein, now known as one of the most intelligent men who've ever lived. But in actuality, he was nothing more than a little clerk from over in Europe. And one day somebody submitted a design for something and he says, whoa, I like this. And he stole it. And then he became famous for his theory of relativity and all this baloney. He was a plagiarist and a thief. One of the most stupid men on earth. The guy couldn't even comb his own hair. They said he didn't even know how to work a Coke machine. Couldn't figure out how to put the dime in to get a Coke. He was an idiot. But the Jewish press has made Einstein into the smartest man in the world. You say, I don't believe he was a clerk. Oh, yes, in the copyright office. The copyright office where the patents and the trademarks. That's how the Jews get most of their work. Insider in New York City told me, worked at the one of the biggest publishing houses in the world. He said, Tex, America is 97.5% Gentile, non-Jewish. And the New York publishing houses, and that's where all of publishing is, get the most fantastic and wonderful ideas for books. Entire manuscripts sent to them. To publishers like Doubleday, Random House, Simon & Schuster, Prentice Hall. Bantam books, on and on, all owned by Jews. And the editors are Jews. And the publishers are Jews. And even the copyright editors are Jews. And they steal from all the Gentiles. And they give all these great books and book ideas and manuscripts to Jewish writers. He said, that's why you get Simon and Schuster, which is the second largest publisher in the world. And look at their catalog. Every year they publish 500 new books. Huge publishing house. Of those 500, he says, around 480 are authored by Jews. Isn't that amazing? In America, a country that only has 2.5% Jews, over 90% of the best-selling books are all written by Jews. Mickey Spillane, back in the 50s, wrote a whole series of best-selling mystery novels, found out the scoop there. He wrote his first novel, and he didn't know how copyright worked or anything, and he sent it off to New York Publishing House and said, would you be interested in publishing my book? Here's the manuscript. He had typed it diligently, line by line, page by page. Never heard from him. But one day he was in a convenience store. You know, they had all the book magazine racks there, you know, where you can buy dime store novels. And wow, there was an interesting book by somebody, I forget the name, by Goldberg or Rosenhaus or something. Had a different title on it. Sure was an interesting book. He took it off the shelf and began to look at it. Word for word, they never changed anything. It was his book. They stole it. That's the way they do in New York. The Jews run the publishing industry. I have a friend, a Jewish lawyer, by the way, from New York City. I asked him how corrupt was the publishing industry. Now, remember, he's a Jewish lawyer. He represents publishers. He says, well, don't quote me, but let me tell you this much. If you think they are, he said, they are crooked. But if you think the Jews who publish books here in New York City, and that's really about the whole publishing industry, if you think that's corrupt, check out Hollywood. If you're a Gentile, try to get a screenplay published in Hollywood. You got to have a Jewish name. Well, you don't have to have a Jewish name. Your name can be Smith. Because what they do, these crypto Jews, they take Gentile names. You know, Mr. Silverman becomes Mr. Jones, et cetera, et cetera. Well, thieves, robbers, defrauders, corruptors. All Jews? Did I say all Jews? No. But a goodly percent of them. Enough so that they run the whole publishing industry. Enough so that they run most of Hollywood. Enough so that they own the banking system in America. Enough so that they tell our president, a black and white man, half and half, what to do each and every minute of his day. They set the agenda and the format and write his speeches for him. Tell me they're not powerful. But they gave us the atomic bomb. It was their idea, they say. But in fact, the whole thing came from the ideas of an Italian scientist, Enrico Fermi. But the Jews found out about it, stole the idea, and ran with it. And a man named Sachs, that's right, you can read about it, and I've read about it. In fact, I have right here from MSN. MSN Encarta Encyclopedia online, the Manhattan Project. Read it for yourself. A man named Sachs, S-A-C-H-S, who was a good friend of Bernard Baruch, both of them were Jews. They enlisted Albert Einstein, who was a dummy, but everybody thought was smart. And Mr. Sachs went to FDR with his letter from Baruch and a letter from Einstein and said, hey, we could invent this bomb, a super weapon. FDR gave his approval for it. And there in New York City and Long Island, they opened up a laboratory and began to work on it. They found they didn't have enough room. It was the Manhattan Project. So they moved it then, put a Jewish communist spy under the advice of Bernard Baruch. They put him in charge of the whole project. But he was so stupid, he didn't know how to run a project. So they gave him a Gentile general, an army general named Groves. That's how they do it, you see. Oppenheimer got all the credit, this inexperienced novice scientist, but they gave him all these Gentile scientists and even gave him a Gentile army general named Groves to run the whole thing in New Mexico. Now, you may say, Tex, didn't you start off this program saying it was going to be entitled The Pyramid Mysteries of the Atomic Bomb? Yes, I did. The Pyramid Mysteries. I like to change things up a bit. So let's go to the pyramid. First of all, if you visit Los Alamos today, there is a monument that's been built. A monument is constructed with a bronze plaque on it to commemorate the very spot called Trinity Site. Trinity Site. Trinity. That has to do with the Hindu Trinity of gods or deities. That's worshipped in Freemasonry, in the 32nd degree of Freemasonry. And FDR was a 32nd degree Freemason. So don't think this was the Trinity Site. Remember, I've already told of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No. It was the sun god and the goddess and their son from India's Hindu religion. Remember, Mr. Oppenheimer quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu Bible, basically, or scriptures, I am become the destroyer of worlds. God builds, Satan tears down and destroys. Always remember that concept, my friends. Bring Satan in your life, he'll wreck it. Bring Jesus in your life, he'll build it up. Bring Satan in your life, he'll bring death. Bring Jesus in your life, you will live and live eternally. It's a principle of spirituality that cannot be annulled. Now, this first nuclear explosion that this monument commemorates took place, according to the bronze plaque, and it's accurate, on July 16th, 1945. Now, add up the numbers in this date, because that's what occult numerologists do. You'll see that this date was chosen for a specific reason. The numbers in the date, 7, 16, 1945, add up to 33. That is a Masonically significant number, 33 being the highest ritual degree for Scottish Rite Freemasons. By the way, Trinity Site was named after a Englishman named John Donne. If any of you have seen the movie, The Incredible Shrinking Man, it was from the book by John Donne. He was a universalist. He was an occultist. He was a Mason who believed all the world should be as one. You know, John Lennon used a lot of verbiage from him in his song, Imagine. Now, I'm going to take you back to Trinity Site when we return on the other side, but let me just leave you with this. Guess what the monument is shaped as? Guess what the symbol is? It is a pyramid. The Trinity Site, where the number 33 is celebrated, where the atomic bomb, the very first, was exploded of the Manhattan Project, is a pyramid monument. We'll find out why when we return. You're listening to Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back. Did you know that Karl Marx, the so-called founder of communism, although he wasn't really the founder, Satan was, and a man named Moses Hess, a Satanist, who was the mentor and teacher of Karl Marx. But did you know that Karl Marx had a little altar set up in his apartment in London? Oh, yes. He had an altar. He was a holy man. And he wore a little Jewish prophylactery around his head. And you'd probably like to know who he prayed to. Well, according to the book, Marx and Satan, an authoritative source written by Richard Wurmbrand, he prayed to Satan. He had a religion, all right. He prayed to Satan. Had a little altar set up with black candles. Rothschilds, no doubt, have the same thing in their mansions. The book Marx and Satan, I believe, is a must. You'll find out the true doctrine of Karl Marx. Did he want to build a communist paradise? Well, that was only the halfway house. What he really wanted to do was destroy the earth and destroy all the sky and the stars and the sun and be greater than God. Oh, he believed in God. His father and his grandfather were religious men. In fact, his grandfather was a Jewish rabbi. You need to know more about Karl Marx. Then you'll understand the truth about the Jewish Kabbalah and the Jewish Talmud and the hatred by the Jewish rabbis of all Gentiles. It says in the Jewish Talmud, which is their holy book, quote, the best of the Gentiles kill. The best of the Gentiles kill. But of the Jews, it says in their holy book, that if you were to save just one Jew, it would be such a wonderful deed. It would be the same as if you had saved the whole world. Marx and Satan, a book by Richard Wurmbrand. And Richard Wurmbrand is interested, he died, and he's now with the Lord Jesus. He's interested in giving you the truth. He was a Jewish man who was not only a Christian, but was called by God to be a pastor. And he was taken away because he refused to renounce his faith in Jesus. And he was tortured for many years in a communist prison camp. A man like that is pretty well determined to tell the truth about things. You'll want to get his book, Marx and Satan. It'll tell you who the master of communism is. And now, since we have Barack Obama, who is named after Bernard Baruch, the Jewish financier who gave us the Manhattan Project, who told Roosevelt what to do, and who caused Truman to explode 2 atomic bombs over Japan, destroying entirely virtually the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, although the Japanese had already pleaded to America, let us surrender. But the Jews said, no, we can't let you surrender. Because then we'll lose the opportunity to frighten the whole world with our nuclear war. We want to show what we can do to demonstrate the great horror of the atomic bomb. And with it, we will rule the world someday. And even though even the Emperor of Japan had agreed to surrender, we wouldn't let the Japanese. Truman carried out the order of the Jews, Mr. Baruch. Let's just call him Barack of the 1940s. And so hundreds of thousands perished in the flames and later of hideous radiation sickness poisoning. Now, this book, Marx and Satan, just $15. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $20. Ask for the book, Marx and Satan by Wurmbrand. That's Wurmbrand. Just ask for the book, Marx and Satan. We'll know what it's all about, even if you forget how to spell Wurmbrand's name. That's no problem. Marx and Satan. We'll get it right out to you. Now, here's our address. Send your $20 with a little note or a piece of paper. Send a check, cash, money order to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can phone us during the work week, Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time from 8 to 5:30. Phone us at toll-free now, 1-800-234-9673 from the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. If you're overseas, you can phone us. Our regular phone line is 512-263-9780. Okay? Now, I want to mention, too, I have a video. If you haven't got The Sun at Midnight, about the pyramids of mystery and temples of blood. Well, you need it. The Sun at Midnight. 60 minutes DVD. And that would be $30 postpaid, including the shipping and all. A total of $30. You can ask for that video. The Sun at Midnight. The most incredible, explosive truths about the great pyramids of yesterday and today and tomorrow. The Sun at Midnight, total of $30 postpaid. Again, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Now, let's return to our regular program. We're examining the pyramid mysteries of the atomic bomb. Now, why would a monument be built shaped like a pyramid to commemorate the explosion of the first test nuclear bomb in the world? Back in 1945, July the 16th. Well, let me read to you a little bit about the pyramid. Don Bell used to put out newsletters called Don Bell Reports, and boy, what fabulous newspaper reports, newsletter reports they were. And I have a collection of them in my files. Here's what he wrote back in March the 5th, 1965. On page 45 of one of his reports, Don Bell said, quote, there is said to be a lost religion older than and yet the spiritual mother of Jewish Kabbalism, Hermeticism, Maganism, Gnosticism, Alchemism, Rosicrucianism, Masonry, Egyptology, Judaism, Theosophy, and all other forms of esotericism. This lost religion, wrote Don Bell, is said to have survived the destruction of Atlantis, which occurred, it is said, with the great flood recorded in the 7th and 8th chapters of Genesis. This religion, this ancient lost religion, and yet found among certain members of secret sects. This religion is founded upon the mysteries and intrigue of the pyramids. The pyramids. Now, friends, as I explain in my book, Mysterious Monuments, you can find a little bit about this in my book, Codex Magica. The pyramid is an architectural symbol which embodies the occult dogma of the ancient wisdom, so-called, of Lucifer. He was called the solar angel and logos. And you see, the pyramid is built in such a way that at high noon, all of the walls of the pyramid are filled with light from the sun. For they worship the great sun god, the solar angel. Lucifer. He was the Lord of Mysteries. And so the pyramid, this sun symbol, serves as a symbol of scientific and spiritual knowledge. So the atomic bomb brought with it this supernatural knowledge of creation itself. The splitting of the atom, the breaking up of the most basic matter of the universe through this fission process, the cracking of the atom, and the releasing of tremendous energy is thought to be a supernatural act. And man has become then a supernatural god by doing so. Some say, those of the cult of the pyramid believe that. The Jews believe that in their ancient mystical Kabbalistic religion. You see, the pyramid then is the chief reservoir of alchemy and initiatory occult power. To the initiates, the pyramid is the one great idol. And every satanic cult and secret doctrine that exists in the minds of men is bound up in the pyramid. Now, from a secret occult manuscript that I have access called The Path of Recognition, The Path of Recognition, I want to quote you what it says about the pyramid, which, by the way, they called it in this book, The Path of Recognition, this occult textbook. The pyramid is called the coffin. The coffin or tomb, the coffin of Osiris. Now, Osiris, in the Egyptian mythology and religion, was known both as the sun god, the great father god, but also the lord of the underworld. He was the conductor of those people who died. That means you and me and everyone who ever lived. He is the conductor of the dead through the passageways, underground. Some go to great fire, and we'll talk about that some other time. But it says in this occult book, the coffin of Osiris is represented as the great stone pyramid, which the Jewish Kabbalists call a tomb. It was a pyramid of stone erected as a public symbol. And the great stone pyramid of Giza in Egypt near Cairo was said to be the burial place of Osiris and Hermes. It represents the burial place of Osiris. Osiris was slain by his enemies, later resurrected by his wife Isis, the great goddess. This is all now the nonsense of the Egyptian mythologies. But after he was slain, for a while he went down into the bowels of the earth and became lord of the underworld. Now, really, you see, this is just a picture of Satan falling from heaven to earth, being banished from the presence of God and making his abode under the earth and hell in Hades. That's what Osiris really is. This is what the myth of the pyramid is all about. Now, friends, you can read all the Masonic authorities, Pike and I have, Waite, Mackey, all of them. They'll tell you the same thing. The pyramid is literally the burial site, the coffin, the receptacle of the body and spirit of the great Egyptian sun god and lord of the dead, Osiris, who will return. Oh, yes, he is returning. And he has a son with him. In Christianity, we call him the Antichrist. This is Lucifer and his incarnated son, the Antichrist. And they're going to bring with them great destruction. That's what the atomic bomb is all about. And that's why the Jewish Kabbalists love, embrace, worship, revere, adore the atomic bomb. Several years ago, I was flipping TV channels looking for a good program. There was a movie on, and I was sort of shocked to see it was some kind of a science fiction movie. I don't even remember the title. If you remember it, folks, write to me, because I think it was a very popular movie at the time. I watched just 5 minutes of it, and somehow it was like one of these post-World War III movies, and the Earth had been destroyed, you know, sort of like Thunderdome or something like that. And but all these people were in this great sanctuary. Of course, there was much destruction all about them. And they began to, I think it was like a hymn they were singing, you know, and then their God came forth and he was just lowered down from the ceiling or the curtain open or something. I can't remember exactly. And it was an atomic bomb. They were worshiping as God the atomic bomb. They worshiped the atomic bomb because it was the atomic bomb that had been used in multiple numbers to destroy the whole world. And with such great power, the power of such a supernatural force, the people that were left over after the world was destroyed after World War III lost most of their education system and all of that. But somehow they fastened on this idea that if the whole world was destroyed by this thing, that thing was worthy of being worshipped because of its great power. They worshipped the bomb. My good friend, Michael Hoffman, in a book that we offer in the ministry called Secret Societies in Psychological Warfare, says this is the whole purpose of nuclear power, of the atomic bomb, of the Manhattan Project, is to be able to create by destruction atomic power. And he says it has an occult purpose. In his truly revelatory book, The Golem, Michael Collins Piper says the same thing but has a different take on it. You see, in the Jews' religion, it was taught that when the Jews are being persecuted, when they're being mistreated, and of course, if they're not able to control the whole world and on all the banks and all of the industry and government motors and so on, then they're being mistreated. We're not allowed to live in our mansions and fly around in our executive jets. How dare you, Gentiles, you slaves, you peons. That's what the Jews believe. And so come forth to rescue the Jews is this huge, monstrous being called the Golem. He's the Frankenstein monster. But he's created out of the dust of the earth by the supernatural secret formula, occult formula, using the Hebrew language and all its occult numerology and so forth. And with these occult incantations, poof, up comes the Golem. And he goes forth to destroy his enemies, the Gentiles. And Michael Collins Piper says the Golem is the atomic bomb for the Jews in the last days. And now you know, listen to me very carefully, now you know why the Jews who ran Russia were given the secrets of the atomic bomb by men like Klaus Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S, a Britishman, a British scientist who worked at Los Alamos and found out all the secrets of the atomic bomb and gave them to Stalin over in Russia and Kaganovich, his Jewish deputy. That's right, Russia got the nuclear bomb from Jews because they were communist. They didn't want only America to have them. They wanted their great Soviet Union communist paradise to have the atomic bombs. In 1992, newly declassified papers came forth called the Verona Papers. Explain the whole thing. Another man named Hall worked there, an American, young physicist, scientist. He also gave nuclear bomb plans to the Russians. And then there was the Rosenbergs, Julius and Ethel. And they were Jews who worked there. And they also were associated with that group. And they gave out the plans. And then there was Oppenheimer, J. Robert Oppenheimer, Jew, who was the administrator of the whole project. Actually, he was the physicist in charge. Groves, General Groves, the Gentile, was the man that really did it all. By the way, Oppenheimer's name is J. Robert Oppenheimer, but don't try to find out what the J stands for. It doesn't stand for anything, historians tell you. It was just the letter, J. Robert Oppenheimer. Yeah, it stands for something. It stands for Jew. I am a Jew, and that's first in my name, J. Robert Oppenheimer. Not only that, but he has a secret name for the whole Manhattan Project. Not only was it called the Manhattan Project, which was named for all the Jews in Manhattan that come up with this devil idea, but he called it, that is Oppenheimer, called it Project Y. General Groves said, I don't know why he calls it that. And even today, go to your encyclopedias and everybody say, I don't know why I call it Project Y. It was called Y for Yid or Yiddish. Jew. It's a Jew project. Now we get back to Marx and his poem entitled Olanem, which you'll read about in the book Marx and Satan by Wormbrand. His goal, annihilate the universe. That would be real power. Yes, it would. It would be the power to make men burn to death through fire. A holocaust. That's why the Jews are so fastened on what they call the Nazi holocaust, which is mostly nonsense and puffed up much bigger than it is. But they intend to give the world a real holocaust. Now they complain that the Iranians might be developing nuclear power, or that the North Koreans might have a couple of bombs. But Israel has, at least according to most intelligence sources, over 400 to 600 nuclear bombs in their arsenal. Now, who gave them that? Now we have the Nixon tapes that have been released. And Richard Nixon is heard on those tapes as basically admitting that the Jews of America stole the atomic bomb secrets and gave them to Israel. And in his book, Final Judgment, Michael Collins Piper wrote that John Kennedy was determined to stop the spread of nuclear weapons. And so he called on David Ben-Gurion, the prime minister of Israel, the first prime minister, a man who was a communist, a man who was a Polish communist, who had immigrated to Israel, whose name was not David Ben-Gurion, but that was a name he made up. And in Look magazine and other sources, even his own biography, he admits he was a great admirer of Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin. And Kennedy knew that the Jews had stolen the atomic bomb from the United States and given it to Russia and to Israel. Remember, Israel was founded in 48, and that's when they got the bomb, shortly thereafter. And by the way, Oppenheimer, after the Manhattan Project, and it was found out that he was a communist spy, his security clearance was stripped by Eisenhower, the new president. And he was fired from his job. The Jews hated Eisenhower after that. That's why in his farewell address, he warned America about the military-industrial complex, including the atomic bombs that they were building. He warned us. Eisenhower did. He fired Oppenheimer, and well, he should have. Now, consider this, dear friends. Israel has up to 600 nuclear bombs, and they have nuclear submarines that can go around the world. And one Israeli professor at Hebrew University has warned that if the Jews don't get what they want in the Middle East, that the capitals, the cities of Europe, could be toppled by Israelis' bombs. These people are monsters. But keep this in mind. In the Jewish Kabbalah, it says, first we Jews will destroy. And then on the ashes of the world, after the fire that engulfs humanity, we Jews alone will be saved because of our God, that would be Lucifer, his miraculous power. And then we can go about building our great Jewish utopia with what's left. This is the reason for the Ouroboros. If you've seen the novel by Frank Herbert called Dune, he burrows his way into the ground. Then great destruction takes place. The worm, the Ouroboros worm, which is a serpent swallowing his own tail, comes up out of the earth. And from the ashes comes the phoenix bird. And he flies. The flight of the phoenix is the flight of the Jews to a Jewish utopia. After they incinerate the world through a nuclear holocaust. But somehow they are so idiotic and so evil, they believe they will be spared. After all, they're God's chosen people. But why do they want the whole world as their Jewish paradise? It's called money. And why do they want us to be slaves? It's called they can be masters of the global plantation. That's the meaning. Whatever Gentiles are left will be their slaves. Bernard Baruch. And remember, Barack Obama's named after him. Bernard Baruch said something interesting. He said, all wars are economic in origin. Did you hear that? All wars are economic in origin. There's another man named after Bernard Baruch in addition to Barack Obama. His name was Baruch Goldstein. Baruch Goldstein. You can read about him in the encyclopedias. Over a decade ago, Baruch Goldstein took a machine gun. And remember, in Israel, there is no gun control laws for Jews. That's only for non-Jews. Can you imagine? It being like in America, we say, okay, only you Americans who are from Scottish and German heritage can own guns. All the rest of you, we don't trust you. Well, that's what they do in Israel. The Jews can carry around machine guns and all kinds of weaponry. But the Palestinians who live right in the same neighborhood and who have lived there, and their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents for hundreds of years, they're not allowed to arm themselves. Baruch Goldstein took his automatic rifle into a Islamic mosque. And there, several hundred Muslims were worshiping. And he murdered 29 of them. He called it a holy act. Now they want to take the whole world down and call it a holy act. This is the pyramid cult, my friends. They believe in Osiris. You have to understand, when you go into Israel today, driving up from Egypt, after they check you out at customs and all that and let you in, you have to go right into the town of Eilat, E-I-L-A-T. And there, as you drive right down the street, the very first city from Egypt, up from Egypt into Israel, you will see a Rothschild project, another great monument. It's also built as a great pyramid. It has the all-seeing eye of Osiris, the sun god. I wish I had more time. I'd like to tell you about a man named John Parsons, a Satanist. He was involved with L. Ron Hubbard of Scientology. They worked together. It was Parsons, a Satanist, who also worked on this atomic bomb project, a rocket scientist, a bomb-making scientist. Satanists were involved. Even the two atomic bombs that were first exploded on Japan, there's a satanic principle involved in those. It was believed that from that explosion would come the occult power to bring forth the man-child, the Antichrist, who would become the Messiah of the Jews and fulfill prophecy, the destruction of the world. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been talking about the pyramid of the cult, the mysteries of the pyramid, and the atomic bomb. Been great being with you. My prayer, my friends, is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.